Praise the Lord. God bless you. I do want to remind you of one special event happening a week from this coming Sunday night. It is a fifth Sunday. And so whenever we have a fifth Sunday around here, we do something special during the month of the fifth Sunday. So a week from this Sunday night, we are having a chili cook-off here at the church. And it's free, no charge. Your only price of admission is we're asking each family to bring a 2 liter or a gallon of drink of your choice. There is a sign-up sheet at the back if you would like to be involved in the chili cook-off as far as bringing supplies or making the chili. We have, I think, 6 spaces, and there may be 2 left for individuals to make a large pot of chili. And then there's a couple places to sign up to bring some shredded cheese, some corn muffins, and some desserts. And so we encourage you to be a part of this. Looking forward to it. Always such a great time of fellowship. Not only will we have the chili cook-off, and they'll be judging, and whoever wins will have bragging rights and all that good stuff. Hopefully, we're going to have a setup where you will not know whose chili you are partaking of, and then you will vote just based upon the chili itself. And then we'll announce a winner at the end. And in the meantime, we'll have games and just fellowship together. So that is happening a week from this coming Sunday night. I do want to remind department heads, those of you that are head of department, this coming Saturday night at Sister Connie's residence. We've changed it. Normally we have it kind of in the morning time, but we've moved it up into the evening for scheduling reasons. And so those of you part of department heads, please be reminded that's happening this coming Saturday night. We are continuing in our study tonight. We started this last year, as many of you know, and we've kind of taken our time getting through the material. We are talking about growing a church, what it takes to grow a church. The book that I'm reading and taking a lot of this from is written by our general superintendent, Brother David K. Bernard, one that speaks from experience. He has built a great church in Austin, Texas. Not only that, I think there was as many as 9 daughter works that sprung off from that church there in Austin. Obviously now he's no longer, I know he's kind of interim in the sense that he goes back and forth on occasion there to the church in Austin, but he is our general superintendent, and he does write this book from experience. He gives a lot of kind of a diary, if you will, in some of the chapters about what took place in the church that he built in Austin, Texas. And so taking from that, and the book is entitled The 7 Apostolic Principles of Church Growth. And so we've taken from that book and kind of developed some Bible study, some teaching that we're doing here on Wednesday night, and we are continuing in that. If you remember anybody remember what we taught on last week? Planning. Very good. Talked on planning and talked about planning. The week before that was prayer. Very good. See, it helps when you're involved, like Brother Alex, because then he knows he's involved, and so he remembers what those were. So, and tonight we're talking about number 3, apostolic principle number 3, persistence. And I thought about this. I said, I should probably have my wife teach this one. I don't think she'll be offended by this, but there's sometimes I affectionately call her the bulldog. Because she's got a tenacity about her. I don't mean that in a bad, negative way. I mean that in a good, loving, kind-hearted way. I'm already getting myself in trouble. I'll hurry on. But my wife, she has this kind of trait about her that when she gets something in her head, we sometimes call it stubborn, but for tonight we're going to call it persistent and tenacious, because those sound a lot better than stubborn. But she can get something in her head, and it just amazes me. And I'll tell her something. I said, baby, it doesn't matter what, you are going to make this happen. That's just the way you are. She's persistent about some things. And persistence is not a bad attribute. To be persistent, to be someone that is tenacious. And if there's anything that I think is worthy about being persistent and tenacious, it's about growing the church of the living God. And I think that there's a reason why it's a key attribute. It's a principle that has to be applied in growing a church. Obviously, one of the reasons why that we got into this curriculum, I prayerfully considered what to start teaching, and I felt like my wife and my family have been here for 3 years, and I said, Lord, I want to see this church grow, and I want to know how to do that, and I want to put the plan in place, if you will. I want to find those principles, apply them to this church, and God, I want to see the church grow. And so, obviously, we're not covering everything that can be covered in the sense of church growth, but we're taking these seven apostolic principles of church growth, and we're studying them in hopes of applying them in this local assembly, so that we would not only grow in quantity, but we would grow in quality. And both of those areas growing together as a body of believers, that we would expand in number, that we would expand in our experiences and our own quality of walk and lifestyle with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what this is about. And so tonight we're talking about persistence. I'm going to quickly go over the seven apostolic principles of growth. We did prayer. Next was planning. Whoa, and it's going crazy. Three was persistence, where we are tonight. And the next week, Lord willing, preaching and teaching. Number five, power and demonstration of the Spirit. Number six is personal care. And number seven is personal involvement. As I've said before, we can teach about these things. We can go over the curriculum. We can have Wednesday night Bible study on these topics. But the reality is, until we apply these things, until we get on board, and that's why the last two has to do with personal care and person. In other words, I have a personal care for what goes on, and I have personal involvement in what goes on. And there's a reason why those are further on down the line, because all these things kind of provide a foundation for you and I to get more involved in growing the church of God. So that's what we're talking about. And so I wanted to look at this verse as our focus verse. It's found in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, or we might use the word farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, as I've stated before, and I still believe, obviously the Bible says we're closer now than when we first believed. I know my grandfather preached the coming of the Lord. He has gone on to his reward, and I'm preaching the coming of the Lord. But the reality is, whether he comes tomorrow or whether he comes 1,000 years from now, the reality of our endeavoring to grow a church should be the same. We should have that expectation and anticipation in our heart that the Lord could come back in any moment, and we want any and all that can come, that can go with him, we want to go. We want our family, we want our friends, we want our loved ones, we want our acquaintances, we want any and all to go to be with the Lord, right? And so one of the ways that that happens, one of the ways that we facilitate people making their way to heaven is through the Church of the Living God. Amen? I believe. You say, well, do you have to have a church to go to heaven? Well, I can't find you chapter and verse for that statement. But what I do believe is that the church is the facility and the way for you and I to make our calling and election sure. And so in that sense, I think it's very important, if not essential, that somebody be a part of a church that teaches and proclaims truth and tells them what it is essential to be saved and make heaven their home. And so we need the church. And not only do we need the church, our friends need the church. Our loved ones need the church. Our acquaintances need the church. Because I want to go to heaven, and I want them to go to heaven. And I believe the church is a great facilitator of getting people to where they need to be and making heaven their home. Moving on. And let me just address this verse real quick. Because James is talking about, he uses the word husband, as I stated earlier, it's a farmer. No farmer in his right mind would go out, plant a seed, and the next day go out and be frustrated that it didn't have fruit. No farmer in his right mind. Farmer understands that there's time, there's planting, and there's growth, there's germination, there's all these things that must happen. And then eventually, if the conditions are right and it's properly taken care of and nature takes its course, he will one day walk out there and there be fruit. I remember last year was last year was our first attempt at growing a garden, having a vegetable garden. I was rather grandiose in my plotting of ground for this garden that I had never before really been able to grow anything. So, but I figured if I can't grow anything here in Illinois, I can't grow anything anywhere. And so I plowed out an area of, I don't know, it was probably 20 by 60. It was a pretty good area. And I was astonished at how well it did. I was going out there and I didn't know any better. I was, man, the bigger the zucchini got, I was like, man, that's awesome. And then somebody kind of deflated, like, well, they're really better if you pick them when they're about that small. And I was like, man, I didn't know that. I thought the bigger the better, you know, as big as my leg. Yes. But a farmer understands that it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Growth. Now, weeds and bad things, they grow pretty quick, but good things take some time. And good things, it's not going to happen overnight. There's going to be a period, and so there has to be an element of patience. But that patience is not just sitting and waiting. That patience involves doing some things. In order for that garden to grow, I had to go out there and till up some weeds every now and then. I had to put a fence around it to keep the rabbits and the other animals from eating all this. I had to do things to help it. Right? It's no different in growing a church. Well, let's look at what persistence is. Firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Because here's the thing. There is going to be difficulty. There is going to be opposition. It's not a possibility. Opposition and difficulties are not possibilities. They are certainties. When you are endeavoring to grow a church, when you are endeavoring to reach the world, and you are endeavoring to reach your community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will not go unnoticed by the enemy. That will not be something that the enemy just sits back and allows to take place. The enemy will war against that. And so much so that we understand that if for some reason, if our building and growing of a church faces no opposition or difficulty, then we must not be building anything of any substantial threat to the enemy. Think about that. Because there's a lot of places, and I hesitate to call them churches, that they seem to spring up overnight, and they seem to have all this constituency in just a matter of weeks. But the reality is, if there was really something there that was going to pose a substantial threat to the kingdom of this world, there's going to be opposition. Now, I don't know all the details. I don't know what opposition those places may face or what difficulties they may face, but I do know this. I do know that when the church of the living God goes forward, there will be opposition. Now, understand, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Understand that greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. And we understand those principles and those precepts, but that does not mean that we will not face opposition. Apostle Paul said, we are perplexed, we're distressed, we're cast down, we deal with all these things. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's happening on a continual basis. We are facing opposition. And so opposition and difficulties are not possibilities, they are certainties. And persistence remains obstinate. Persistence says, I'm still pushing through. Persistent says, I'm still pressing toward the mark. Even though there is opposition, even though there are difficulties, I'm still going to keep on keeping on. And the reality is, there's a lot of people who will not grow in their walk and relationship with God because they refuse to be persistent. They refuse to keep doing what they should be doing. And they either sit back and stagnate or they backslide. Why? Because they haven't got that resolve in their spirit that says, I'm going to be persistent, even though there's opposition and there's difficulty. Because if we're not careful, we like to refrain from the opposition, the difficulty, so we'll just not do anything that really does any harm to the enemy, and we'll just kind of go through the motions. Just kind of skate on through and feel easy and at ease. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. The combination of diligent effort and patience, persistence. The combination of diligent effort and patience. Patience is not practiced, then diligence and effort will decrease as the expected results are not accomplished. Patience and diligent effort.
It's the combination. It's that balance, if you will. The balance of this combination is crucial to growth. We've got to have the balance of diligent effort and patience. I can't be just patient with no work. There's got to be diligent effort. And I can't just have diligent effort and then when it doesn't happen, you become impatient and abandoned. No, it has to be a combination. There has to be a balance of diligent effort. Put your hand to the plow. It's got to be diligent effort. We got to keep on keeping on. And there's got to be patience. Let's look at it like this. The balance of persistence. On one side, you have patience. Continue, keep on keeping on. But then you have that understanding that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So how patient must you be? At what point in time does your patience just become abstinent stubbornness where you're not really accomplishing anything? Because that's one side where it's just doing the same thing over and over and over again and a routine that becomes a rut. So how do you balance that? How do you know, or what's the point in time where you say I'm being patient, but the more I do, the more futile it seems, and the more I work at it, the more I don't see any results. And so how long do I stay with this? How long do I continue in this process without there being a product? Sometimes that's tricky. Sometimes maintaining that balance. On the other side, the diligent effort. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Then the reality is, as long as we can identify it as being well-doing, as long as we can identify it as doing good, we stay with the process. We be patient with the process. We understand there's going to be a recompense of reward. It's going to be worth it all as long as we're well-doing, as long as we're putting in the honest, diligent effort. Because even though sometimes routine can be a rut, the Bible tells us anyone that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Because I've known this too. Seeds are planted in a rut. Catch this. But you say, well, a rut's just a grave with both ends kicked out of it. Yeah, can be. So that's why there's a balance. That's why it's got to be maintained. There's got to be diligent effort and patience. And as long as there is diligent effort, as long as it is well-doing, as long as it is good, by definition, according to the Word of God, stay with it. Keep doing it. But don't just do that by itself. I read an example in a book about Brother Bernard talked to a gentleman who was determined that he was going to go build a city, or a church rather, in a metropolitan city. And he was convinced that the only thing he needed was just to pray and fast. And so he had this diligent routine of prayer and fasting. And after years of trying to hammer out of work, it didn't happen. And the man became disillusioned because he thought that's all that was necessary to build a church. He found out that wasn't the case. So sometimes in the middle of our routine, in the middle of our well-doing, we need to be able to adapt. We need to understand that while I'm praying and I'm fasting, there's also other things that need to happen. There's also other avenues and other areas that I need to reach and try to expand and broaden my horizons and enlarge the borders so that I can have more of an impact and so I can reach people and so we as a church can reach people. So yes, there is that balance. There is that doing the same thing, but also being willing to say there's more we can do, or we can do this better in another way. And so having that diligent effort along with patience is a crucial combination. And sometimes that balance, sometimes maintaining that balance is difficult. And understanding when do we abandon this because it's just not working? Or when do we say no? It's diligent effort and it's good, so we keep doing it. Maybe we tweak it a little bit, or maybe we change it a little bit. Maybe the plan and the expectations didn't work out exactly like we thought they should. But let's prayerfully consider how we can adapt this and change this so that we can continue to be diligent in our efforts and patient while God works. It's that crucial combination, if you will, the balance. There are two important truths we must understand about persistence. First, someone has to labor for a lengthy period of time before, or I don't know why before is in there. In order to lay the foundation for future growth. It's a typo. Someone has to labor for a lengthy period of time in order to lay the foundation for future growth. I know of examples where there was a church that stayed a smaller church for years, and the pastor labored and he put time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears, and really invested a lot of time and energy into the people and development. Then someone comes along and all of a sudden the church begins to grow and flourish, and now there's quantity, and now it's growing in leaps and bounds. But we need to understand, and I hope that it's always done where the one who comes in looks at the predecessor and says, thanks God for the labor that went forth and all the hard work and effort that went in planting all the seeds. I'm able to reap the harvest of the seeds that were planted by so-and-so. Thank God for their diligent effort. Thank God that they were patient, that they didn't abandon the process, that they weren't weary in well-doing. Someone must be diligent in planting the seeds in order for the harvest to ever happen. We cannot forget that. Someone has to have the diligent effort to continue to plant the seeds, continue, put it in the ground, continue. I seem like it's rut after rut, but I'm planting seeds and I'm putting them ground. And guess what? I believe, and I'm going to water, and I'm going to do those things that I know God wants me to do in response. And I'm, yes, in my humanity, sometimes I'm going to become impatient. Yes, in the reality of what I deal with, yes, there's going to be times where I'm frustrated. But guess what? I can't be weary in well-doing. As long as I'm doing what's right, due season, sometime it's going to happen. Often this takes place long before the growth appears, catch this, above the surface. Crazy thing about weeds is many times they got a large above the surface and very small beneath the surface. Or something that's substantial and something that's going to bring fruit and something that's going to be good. Many times there's a lot of germination and growth that takes place below the surface before we ever see the result above the surface. It's the same way in growing a church. Sometimes there's a lot of stuff that has to happen under the surface before we start seeing the results and the fruit that happens above the surface. Second, significant effort will be required to reach and retain long-term results. Significant effort. I'm sorry, but there is no easy answer. There isn't. There's no quick fix formula. There's no special pill you can take. It's going to help you become this wonderful soul winner where you're all of a sudden going to start bringing 20, 30. No, it's not. It's diligent effort. It's patience. It's continuing to do what you know is right and continuing to live it day in and day out. Long-term growth takes time. Discipleship takes time. Quality takes time. Even a quick infusion in quantity will take significant effort to reach and retain quality. Catch that. That's why sometimes where churches have a multi-soul revival, sometimes there's a lot of those that don't stick because they're not really equipped to take those people that have come in the quantity and turn it into quality. That's why we got to have both. That's why it's a balance. That's why, much like the balance of diligent effort and patience, there's got to be that balance of quantity and quality, and they've got to work together, and so that there's slow, steady, strong growth that happens, and that's what builds a great church, and that's what builds a great body of believers, and that's what we desire. That's what we want. Persistent Apostle Paul. You're here on Sunday morning, you heard me preach about the Apostle Paul and what happened to him at Lystra and how that he was persistent. He kept going. He went back to Lystra again. And Timothy was one of those disciples, one of those faithful he found among the fickle there at Lystra. And how the Apostle Paul was a persistent man. But let's think about this. In his letters to Timothy, who was a young minister building a work, the Apostle Paul likened the work of the ministry to an athlete, a soldier, a farmer, a workman, a servant. All who must be persistent to achieve growth in their various fields of labor. There is nobody. Now, I know, even from a secular athletic stance, there are some that are born with certain genetics which help them. But guess what? Unless that individual is persistent in their practice, unless that individual is persistent in their application and putting those things into practice that have been instilled, unless they take the time to be persistent, it will quickly fall off. It's only those individuals. It's only those that rise to the top in their various fields. Those who even would rise among the ranks of servants were only those who were diligent in their effort and patient. And their persistence would pay off. And Paul was telling young Timothy, you got to be persistent, bud. You're going to face objections. You're going to face ridicule. You're going to face trying times. You're going to face troubles. You're going to face all these different. You're going to have opposition, and there's going to be difficulties, Timothy. But you just keep pressing forward. You just be persistent. Paul speaks from experience as he exhibits persistence in evangelizing and establishing churches throughout the Gentile nations. Now, I want you to pay attention to this passage of Scripture because I'm gonna show you the last part first and the first part last. Got that? Here's a passage in Acts 19. So half of verse 10, I'm going to show you the latter half of verse 10 and then verses 11 and 12. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow. That's revival. That's awesome. All that were in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks, and special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul so that all that they would take handkerchiefs from off of his body and they would go and lay them on those that were sick and possessed with evil spirits and the sickness and the evil spirits. That's awesome. Man, that's amazing. Paul, how did this happen for you? How did you become a man that by your hands God wrought certain miracles and by you that all that were in Asia, you were the catalyst for all those that were in Asia, both Jews and Greeks, to hear the word of the Lord Jesus. How did that happen? Well, here's the first part of that passage. Here's the first part of where we just read. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened. Wait a second, that doesn't sound like revival. Divers or many people were hardened. Many people, though he's teaching and he's in the synagogue and for the space of 3 months he's teaching. The apostle Paul is being persistent. He's 3 months. He's preaching and he's teaching and trying to get these people, but divers were hardened and believed not and spake evil of that way before the multitudes. Then he departed from them and separated the disciples, but he didn't. Here's the thing. He didn't leave Ephesus. He left that synagogue. He departed from those people that over 3 months, they didn't hear him. 3 months, they spake evil of the way that he taught and he preached. But then catch this. Disputing occasionally. Disputing once a month. Disputing twice a week. No. The Bible says disputing daily. One Western text says this. It's not in your New King James. One Western text says that it was at the space of the fifth hour. So from 11 in the morning, mid-morning, till 4 in the afternoon. Catch this. In the hottest part of the day, if you will, he's at the school of Tyrannus and he's disputing daily, the Bible says. Folks, this is before the special miracles. This is before they brought aprons and handkerchiefs and took them from off his body. This is before. Guess what he's doing? The Apostle Paul is being persistent. Catch this. And this continued for a couple days. This continued for a couple months. 2 years. best I can read, daily for 2 years. He's at the school of Tyrannus. For 2 years, every day he's preaching. Every day he's taking. Every day he's, what is he? He's being persistent. He's just staying. And it's through that persistence, it's through the Apostle Paul doing well-doing and staying persistent that guess what? It's by that all that they were in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, because guess what? They kept coming to the school of Tyrannus, and they would leave from there and they would go other places and they would tell what they, why? Because the Apostle Paul was persistent. He stayed in the saddle and he kept preaching. And even though initially the results weren't good, divers were hardened, they spake evil, he just kept preaching and he kept teaching. Let's talk about some persistence decreasers. Things that will decrease not only our individual persistence, but persistence within the church and the body of believers. Disillusionment. The expected results were not evident in accordance with the expended effort. I put all this time and effort and resource into this, and I don't have much to show for it. I did this, I put this in all this expended effort, but I don't have anything to show for it, and I'm kind of disillusioned about all this work and what I've done and all this well-doing that I've put into this because I just don't see anything springing up. I don't see anything cracking the surface. I don't see the fruit of the labor, so I'm a little disillusioned as to whether this is really the will of God or this is what God wants me to do or this is where God wants me to be, and so I'm a little bit disillusioned. I'm struggling with the reality of what is right now because it's not what I expected it to be. And so I'm struggling. And so I'm having an issue with remaining patient. What do I do? How do I get beyond this? How do I really deal with this feeling that I have and these thoughts of giving up, trying another course of action? What do I do? How do I? See, those are persistence decreasers. As I begin to think on that and I begin to think about what's not right and what's not worked and what's not happened, guess what? I start being negative and I start thinking about what hasn't happened. I start even not noticing those things that have happened because I'm focusing on what hasn't happened. And I become disillusioned that there's any growth at all. I don't see anything. And sometimes if all I do is look above the surface, I won't see anything. And if all I do is look above the surface, guess what? My persistence will start to decrease and I'll start to wane in my desire to keep on keeping on and doing what God has called me to do. And so persistence will start to decrease. But we need to be reminded, we can plant and we can water, but ultimately it is God that gives the increase. Just keep planting and keep watering. You know what? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's a joint effort. It's all of us working together because somebody may be good at planting while the other one may be good at watering and the other may be good at, someone may be good at getting people here and someone else may be good at keeping them here by making connections with them. And so it's all of us working together and God will give the increase as long as we keep planting and we keep watering. Guess what? God will give the increase. But wait for it. It will be in His time. And so sometimes, catch this, sometimes the growth that is happening is in my own perseverance and persistence. I don't see stuff happening above the surface, but guess what? What I don't recognize often is that something's happening below the surface in me and that God is showing me how to be persistent and God is showing me how to persevere and God is showing me how to just keep on keeping on. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Just keep on keeping on. And though you don't see stuff happening above the surface, there's stuff going on below the surface. You just be persistent. And don't allow disillusionment to keep you from thinking that there won't be increase because there will. And then there's deception. Deception comes when long-term quality growth is attained with special short-term applications. Do this or do that, and there's this quick and easy thing that can happen. Call this individual, they'll bring a team to your church and in your community, and you'll have 40 people. Your church will increase and grow by a certain amount, and guaranteed results. This is gonna happen. We'll have these special series of services, and catch them. Now pay close attention to what I'm gonna say, because I don't want you to misinterpret or misread what I'm about to say. But special events, revival services, outreach efforts will bring them in. Yup. Sometimes. While these are necessary and essential, they can be rather erratic even in short-term results. Catch this. And are not the foundation for future long-term growth. So we can fall prey to that deception that, man, we just got to have these special, we bring in this certain person, or we have this certain, and man, all of a sudden we're going to have some rapid growth, and we got, now it's not that those things aren't essential, it's not that those things aren't necessary, but those things are not the foundation for long-term growth. Now, are there individuals that have stuck? Are there individuals that have stayed, came in under revival service? You better believe it. There's probably some under the sound of my voice that came in under revival services. But I'll promise you this, the revival services aren't what kept you. And if I just go from revival service to revival or special event to special event, I'm going to prove it to you. We can get a lot of people here on Easter and Christmas. Oh, I'm meddling now. But it's the day after day and service after service and Wednesday night and Sunday morning. It's those individuals that really stick to it. It's those individuals that don't fall prey to the deception that I can live for God and come just on an infrequent basis. That ain't the way it happened, folks. Growth in your personal life and growth in your walk and relationship with God comes by a day by day living with Him. It comes by coming to church and being a part of the fellowship of believers. It comes by getting connected to other people who will help strengthen you and encourage you and help build you up. It comes by a persistent determination and commitment that I'm just going to keep on doing what I know I should be doing. And with God's help and the help from the people of God, I'm going to grow and I'm going to mature and I'm going to see quality in my life and I'm going to see quantity in other people. It just happens that way. Let's talk about some persistence increasers. I got just a few minutes left. Commitment. When people are willing to commit more of themselves for however long it takes, the seedbed and soil of growth is fertilized. When people say, I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed, Pastor. I'm committed to this church. I'm committed to growth. I'm committed to Bible studies. I'm committed to reaching people. I'm committed to bringing people in. I'm committed to being involved and being a part and doing whatever I can do to see this church grow. I'm committed. If it takes me coming an hour early to be a part of something, I'm going to come an hour early to be a part of something. If it takes me taking some extra time and committing some extra effort on my part, good. I'm going to do it. And I'm not, please understand this. I am in no way, shape, or form demeaning or trivializing any effort or any work or any time that is spent prior to me coming here as pastor of this church. But let me tell you this, if I'm doing less for God now than I was before, I'm not going in the right direction. And my commitment is not what it used to be. And if my commitment is waning, I have nobody to blame but myself. And if this church is going to grow, it's going to take people who are more committed. I'm going to do more now than I've ever done. I'm going to spend more time than I've ever spent. I'm going to commit. Willingness to work. We can see the reason why a lot of people won't commit, because they know that there has to be some work if I commit. If I commit, that means there's obligation on my part to put the hand to the plow. If I commit, then I've got to have a willingness to work, or it's just empty words. If I'm going to commit, then there's got to be a willingness in my heart that says, whatever needs to be done, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way. If I can't do it, I'm going to find somebody who can. If I can't do it, I'm going to facilitate somebody else being a part of it. There's a willingness to work. Learning to work smarter, not just harder, and be willing to adapt to accommodate certain aspects of growth. There's a willingness to adapt. There's a willingness to say, well, I can't do what I used to be able to do. Maybe health reasons, maybe age. There's things that I did 20 years ago that I can't do anymore, Pastor. I respect that and I appreciate it. And I for one moment, do not demean your effort that you put forth. But I promise you, if you can pray and you get on your knees before God, He'll give you ways that you can adapt and ways that you can be used now. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that is useless in the kingdom of God. We all have a part to play. And though the part may not be what it was 10 years ago, there's still a part that I can play now. And if I'll commit and say I'm involved in this and I want to see the church of God go forward, there's a willingness to work, Pastor. Just give me something to do and I'll do it with all my might. Whatever the hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. It's a willingness to work, to commit myself to doing more, being involved more. Finally, faith. You see, this is one of those areas that a shepherd is pastor. I realize that many times when I get up, the majority of the people that I preach to are people who are saved, people who are in the sense of biblical salvation, people who are individuals that are Christian. And please understand that in the way that I use that term. So the reality of much of the preaching that goes forward, yes, sometimes. And I try as much when I feel God is leading me to be evangelistic and reaching to the sinner. But a lot of what we do as pastors is preaching and teaching faith. Faith so that we get more commitment and more work. Because the reality is the church ain't going to grow unless there's more commitment and more willingness to work. It will stay stagnant. There will be attrition. Some will come, some will go. The revolving door will take place and it will happen. But if the church is going to grow, that's why pastor gets up and he preaches commitment, consecration. Pastor gets up and preaches work, put your hand to the plow. Let's find more areas and ways that God can use us to reach other people, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's about. You can stand to your feet. And that's why next week we talk about preaching and teaching. See how that they kind of flow one into the other, how that persistence. One of the things that I so desire to portray and impart unto the people as I preach is persistence. You stay in it. Because I realize that on any given service, I'm standing before someone who might just be contemplating giving up. Guess what? I preach faith. Just stay with it. Don't be weary in well-doing. At any point in time, I may as pastor get up in front of somebody who's really struggling to stay committed to certain things and consecrated to certain things, and I just keep preaching faith. Just stay with it. Just keep believing. Why? Because persistence is one of those qualities, one of those attributes of growth, not only personal, but collective church growth. God, help us be persistent. Help us not to be faint of heart. Help us not to be wishy-washy. Help us not to be hot and cold, in, out, back and forth. Help us to be persistent, steady, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your work is not in vain. Just be persistent. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the opportunity to teach and preach to precious people. Lord, I pray that in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, we would be more persistent, God. We would be tenacious, God, in our pursuit of your kingdom, God, and growth of your kingdom. That we, God, in our own lives, in our daily, God, interacting with other people, Lord, that we would find ways to be persistent in bringing them unto you. Find ways to speak into their heart and to their life. Find ways that we would be persistent in our own personal growth and development, God, that we would grow more and lead others to you. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word, which teaches and leads and guides. We honor you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. All that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord on this midweek service. You may go, and Sister D. Yes. Okay. Certainly. And I apologize. Normally we do take time in the middle of the midweek service to have special prayer requests. So let's remember Sister Lisa. Certainly. Anybody else? Certainly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. Thank you for that, Sister Michelle. With Alex? Certainly. Certainly. Sister Pat? Certainly. Oh, goodness. So, you didn't remember Phyllis. Certainly. Thank you. Sister Kristen. All right. Let's go to the Lord right now. Oh, Sister Darlene, I'm sorry. Go ahead. All right. Yes, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Saturday morning. Okay. All right. Let's go to the Lord right now. Jesus, we love you. God, you are a prayer answering God. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you in our time of need. I believe and trusting in your power to work and to move, to heal, to help, strengthen, God. Lord, we thank you for the reports we have, God, the testimonies given of your God ability to heal. You're greater than cancer, God. You're greater than any disease. You're greater than any ailment, God. And we thank you that we can come to you. We pray for Sister Grimm, God, in her eye situation. God, we know that you're able to heal, God, for Sister Christine, her being able to hear. God, we know that we can come to you in our time of need and believe and trust in your power. How wonderful it is to serve you and to know you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. All that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we believe it to be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands? And Lord, He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.